How often are you in difficult conversations? Every day, as I mentioned before. Anytime you are looking for a yes, anytime the words I want or I need are in your head, or they are in the head of your counterpart, you're in a difficult conversation, which is all a negotiation is a difficult conversation. So what should you be charged with? What should you be focused on? Focus on motivation. Focus on the why without asking why. Why did they say this? Why are they behaving in this manner? What caused them to take this action? So when you are in those performance reviews, when you are about to announce change to the team that you know is not going to go over well, and you get responses, instead of becoming defensive about the response, determine the motivation behind it. In other words, in a difficult conversation, I want you to remain genuinely curious. Instead of getting defensive, get curious. It's very hard for you to be triggered if you stay curious. It's very hard for you to get angry and be curious at the same time. In fact, I would dare say it's impossible for you to be angry and curious at the same time. So you're going to want to stay curious and find out the why. We get so wrapped around the axle when someone says something that offends us on the surface level, or when someone behaves in a manner counter to what they were instructed, or they behave in a manner that's detrimental to you or the organization, instead of trying to figure out why it occurred. When that employee comes to you and says, I've been here for 6 months and I came to work, I've been showing up on time every day, so I think I deserve a raise. I mean, before you go off and challenge them about the audacity that they have for making such a statement, find out where it's coming from. There's always a motivation behind the ask. There's always a motivation behind the behavior. And that's what I want you to concentrate on. Listening, probably the easiest and most effective concession you can make. Sometimes your employees will come to you with something that they view as a problem, and they're not necessarily looking for a solution. They're looking for you just to listen. We, as leaders, as managers, as bosses, pride ourselves on our ability to put out fires, pride ourselves on our ability to solve problems. And there's a propensity for us to rush into problem solving when sometimes it's not necessary, at least at that juncture. Sometimes it's enough just to listen. For those of you who have been to, I haven't done it in a while, so during our live 1 day, 2 day events, there are times when I have shown a video, and the video is called It's Not About the Nail. And in that video, there's a woman and a man sitting on the couch. And she's complaining about this unrelenting pressure in her head, and she can't figure out what it is. And from the camera angle, you just see the backs of their heads. You just see them talking on the couch. And then the camera angle moves around to the side, and it's clear that she's got a nail protruding out of her forehead. And she says, this is an achy pain. I don't understand what's going on. It's just so much pressure. And the guy looks at her and says, well, you do have a nail in your head. And she says, it's not about the nail. You're always trying to fix it when what I really need you to do is just listen. And a lot of times that's what people want you to do. People want other people to understand their perspective, what they're going through, how the landscape looks to them. And once you can demonstrate that, you are on your way to establishing that rapport that's going to ultimately lead you to trust-based influence, which will in turn lead you to changing the behavior in the direction that you want it to go. Listen for what is not being said. And what do I mean by that? We talk about labels. It looks like, it seems like, it sounds like. It's a very effective way to demonstrate that tactical empathy that I talked about. And many times people stay on the surface with their labeling, and they label exactly what's coming out of the mouth of their subordinate when they're engaged in a conversation with them. But being able to label dynamics, being able to label what is not being said, is far more valuable, far more impactful. I was on a coaching call earlier today before this one, and I was running my client through an exercise. And at the conclusion of the exercise, he said, when you started talking about the neighborhood you grew up in, I sensed you were getting emotional about your time as a child. And this is something that he did not label during the course of the exercise, but it was something that intuitively he picked up on, but he failed to label. My point for sharing that story with you is that go with your gut. Your gut is going to tell you exactly what you're hearing from the other side that's not being spoken. Signals that you're picking up on, whatever the case may be. Label that. There, in every conversation, there's going to be presenting emotions and dynamics, and there's going to be latent emotions and dynamics. Labeling the latent is where you want to be. Stay off of the surface and take a deeper dive, because when you start to label what is not being said, there's no better cue to the person that you're dealing with that you're dialed in and you're truly understanding what is motivating them. Tactical empathy, that deliberate attempt for you to get it right. That deliberate attempt for you to demonstrate that you understand where they're coming from. It's not the same as emotional empathy. You don't necessarily have to feel what they feel in order to demonstrate it. You know, there's that age-old saying, that age-old adage, that you want to know what somebody else is feeling, walk a mile in their shoes. And the reality is, you don't need to feel what they feel. So don't walk a mile in their shoes. With tactical empathy, you're going to see through their eyes. And then you're in a position to solve the problem, to make your ask, to state what your objectives, or to satisfy the needs of yourself, your employee, or of the organization. But at the end of the day, if you take nothing else away from our time together today, I want you to understand, it's not about you. If you make that shift in your thinking and you keep that top of mind, you're going to put yourself in a better position to create motivated employees who are willing to do anything for you because they believe that you have their best interests at heart. You want to be that person who can call them up on a Saturday morning and tell them on Sunday, we're going to assault the gates of hell, and those people will be there to ride shotgun with you. Those are the kind of employees you want to create. And it starts with you understanding, at least for the first 80, 85% of that conversation, it's not about you. Your goal, your objective, your ask is what it is. It's always going to be there. So let's put the focus back on them, and let's come alongside them and demonstrate for them that we get how this is going to impact you. We understand that this is going to create a hardship for you at home. We understand this is going to create more work for you. We understand that this is going to put additional pressure on you. subordinate yourself to the people who work for you, and they will reciprocate. That's probably the best. That's probably one of the most valuable characteristics or byproducts, if you will, of tactical empathy, is it encourages reciprocity. Because you did it first for them, they're more inclined to give you less pushback and do for you when you get to that position, a portion of the conversation where you're going to have to state whatever the germane issue to the conversation is.